yelling, will you? Sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Revelation 5, where we've been preaching from. Just remember now that be much in prayer, because the Lord willing, I'll be leaving Thursday morning to go to Jamaica and be there with them for the weekend. And Wade will be taking the services here. So just pray that the Lord would be with us and bless us. And I'm sure he will. Looking forward to an opportunity to be back there and visit with our brothers and sisters and speak for the glory of the Lord to them. And also remember now, Terrence has already announced, but next Sunday you are to vote on officers for the church. So if anybody doesn't want to fulfill any position you have in the church, please let Terrence know by next weekend, you know, and you'll be voting then. And also you'll be voting on the remodeling of the church, or building on to the church and everything. So, you know, just do that and just let the Lord lead in all of us what we're trying to do. Because we don't have enough money maybe to complete the building, but we do have enough to maybe get it dried in and get some of the work done, and then we'll just wait until the Lord supplies the rest and everything else. So, you know, we don't go in debt. We just move as we can move, you know, and do as we can do. So just pray that the Lord will bless. Revelation 5. Now, remember, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Longora's. It was scheduled for Brother Pageant's, but now it's been changed to Brother Longora, and I think Brother Longora has the February, Brother Tim Calhoun, March, Brother Lee Garland is April, and Brother Pageant is May, so the next 4 months is covered. But if you want to go with us, make sure you let us know. We'll have to be leaving about to probably park and ride at Oakwood or something like that, or the meeting place at wherever we'll be leaving, somewhere in the neighborhood of what? 11. Yeah, somewhere around 11, to where we can all get together and ride over to Brother Longoria's and have a good time fellowshipping together. Amen. Any other announcements? I always forget something. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for the hour that we have upon the earth. Thank you for thy word that you have given unto us. And Lord, for the spirit that is within our hearts, that we can understand thy word, because without it we cannot. So we pray this morning that you would come on the scene, that you would bless each and every one of us, and bless the little bride around the world. That's not a hard thing to ask, because we know that our Father wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. So help us to receive the things that we have need of, which more than anything is to the revealed word and to walk in the light. And Father, we know that the hour is here upon the earth, and Lord, that you will make yourself manifest, and that's what we're praying, that you'll move on the scene and manifest yourself in a mighty way among your little bride, and then that you would, Lord, take us off the earth in the rapture. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Wonderful book, isn't it? And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb slain, stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I hope that this series has been helping you as much as it has me in the opening and the understanding of the Godhead, because to me that's what the whole Bible is preaching one true and living God. And so that's what I've been trying to do to you, to get to see who we believe in. See, we're not Trinitarians. We don't believe in three literal gods. Neither do we believe in the God in three persons doctrine of the people that is the basics of the world. But we believe in one true and living God, and his name is Jesus. And he is here making himself manifest through the Holy Spirit in bringing to you and I the revealed word of the hour that we're living. All right? Because that's the thing that the Holy Spirit is to do, is to bring to your remembrance whatsoever Jesus said, that I have said, and teach you things to come. Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand here today and be able, by way of the Bible and the prophet of God that has been given unto us, to where that we can read the Bible and have an understanding, and not be wondering what does this mean and what does that mean, and how could this be, or well, this could be that, or this could be that, or something, and not at the mercy of just some theological conception or uneducated conception. Either way, but to be at the point of where that God can speak his word unto us, and we can receive the revelation for the hour that we're living. Now, I pray that you would take these messages that I've been preaching on and listen to them over and over until you see at least what I say. I don't ask you to believe it. I don't, any of that doing. I don't ask for that. I ask that you listen, because I can't convince you of anything anyway, and I can't reveal anything to you. But I ask for you to listen and then pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal it unto you, because he's the only revealer of the word. All right. So just remember that. We've got an announcement that any of the youth that wants to go to Brother the banquet at Brother Guests and Diners, talk to Wade and June after the morning service. So any of the youth that wants to go, make sure you talk to them after the service. All right. But to me, see, the revealing of one God, that is the Bible being made known unto us. See? All right? And it's not, that's the reason we've been talking about it so much, about a book in the hand of one sitting on the throne. It's not a Scofield or a Thompson Chain or a early edition or a later edition of what we call the Bible, but that's what it is. It's the Bible. See? It's in the hand of the one that's on the throne, because the Bible is a record of the people who have lived and will live upon the earth, And it's a record of that, and a record of the lives, but it's a record of eternal life. It's a record of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne there in Revelation 5. So then that book is the one we're trying to understand. And it's the Bible. That's a simple term of saying it. It's the Bible, you see, that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, because that is the book of redemption. All right. Now, what did we do? We talked about this past Wednesday that there was only one worthy to even look at the book, let alone to open it and read it, And you and I are not worthy. See? We're not even worthy to open the pages. Neither was the prophet of God in this end time. He was not worthy. Nobody's worthy to open the pages of the Bible and do it. The prophet said, ask the author permission. Because it's his book. See? And that way you'll get a lot more out of it to ask the permission of the author. See? And then we can expect to receive from God. All right. Now we found that the Lamb was the only one that was worthy, the book of Revelation says. All right. The Lamb is the only one that was worthy. Now I want to make sure to put this on right here because I keep repeating myself, you know, for sake of people that maybe don't listen but to one message and they'll pick up another one. The prophet of God said, no mortal that ever lived, no man that ever lived upon this earth, he was worthy. These are in, I ask you to read the breach, you know, over and over. Page 93 of the breach, he said, Moses and Elijah and Job and all the prophets and the sages and all the apostles who had died up to that time were there. But yet, no one was worthy. He goes on and saying that no bishop, no priest, see? No pope, no one, see, because we were all born in sin. And anyone born in sin is not capable of even to read God's word, because the Bible says that it is foolishness to mankind. The Bible is. You read it and it's foolishly, you know, because of the way it talks. You know, especially the book of Revelation and the symbols. But it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal that unto us. And then the Holy Spirit will bring it out, see. All right. Then he went on to say, page 93 of the breach, he said, even the angels, he said, because the angels didn't fall. Now we know one third fell, but two thirds didn't. All right. But the angels didn't fall, but the angel could not be a kinsman. See? He's not a human being. He couldn't be a kinsman. All right. He said, even Michael was there. Even Gabriel was there. But there's still no one worthy. All right. Because it had to be a man. All right. But see, then that man, the proclamation went forth there, see, that, what was it? And one of the elders, verse 5, saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. All right? Now, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, like I told you Wednesday, I believe surely that John had heard Paul speak of the things without his own study of the things, you know. Surely he had heard the other apostles, and surely all of his life, knowing that if you run any earthly lineage, which you cannot as far as physically, because Jesus was not just a normal human man, as people are saying today, he was a creation. All right, he had no beginning and no end in the basis of eternal life that was dwelling within him, but the body had a beginning, but it was spoken into existence, Hebrews 10:5, by the Word. Huh? And see, then it was not a sinful body, neither was it just like a human mortal body. It was in our form, the form of sinful man, not you know, just to look like us and to be like us. And like I said, he could have given you a blood transfusion because he was a man, but there's no DNA hookup, so how would you check to find out what kind of blood he had? Then you might take the wrong kind of blood and die from it. All right. So who is this root and offspring of David? Surely, as I said, John knew the scriptures. And we went through, you know, in the scripture there in Isaiah 11, where it talks about a branch, the root of David. David was, the emblem of David was the Lion coming from the tribe of Judah. Right? And see, then that, coming from there, then you check your lineage from, because Judah was promised a lawgiver. No promise of a priest to come out of Judah, Paul said. We gave it to you there, Hebrews. I believe it's 7, somewhere along in there. But no promise. But this one was one not made after the similitude of man, but after the similitude of Melchizedek. See? Which was Almighty God back there in human flesh. See? But a body spoken into existence, spoken out of existence, and didn't come as a kinsman to us. But this one was born into the world, see, to be kinfolks to us. All right? And see, that way he's the Lamb of God. Then John said, verse 1 of John 1, 29 through 36, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Like I said, surely John, by the time he comes to Patmos, he knows the lineage that would come down from the tribe of Judah. See? And he knew what lineage he was from. If you ask him, say, "What tribe are you from?" You know. See? Brother Brown said, not only was Jesus from the tribe of Judah, but you know that Judas was from the tribe of Judah. You know. Doesn't make any good out of the tribe. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. Because it's not, he was not, see, the son of David in the natural. Solomon was. But it was a promise that the son of David would sit on his throne. Right? He's not the son of Abraham. Isaac's not. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham by faith. All right? See, then in doing that, then you go back to the genealogy of Matthew 1 and 1, and you'll find that he is listed as the son of David, the son of Abraham. All right? See, the Lord Jesus is mentioned as that, because he's the line, he comes from the tribe of Judah. All right? So it was no problem for John to turn looking for a line, and I believe he was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Because he knew about that. And see, then he goes on over in Revelation 22 and 16. Now if you'll look, it's in red letter. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star." So he had no trouble knowing who he was. All right? So then it's no problem for me to say the Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because that's what it is. Or the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All right? Because I'm telling you who he is. All right? But yet in manifestation, see, when John is told, see, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, he looks to see a lion, but he sees a lamb. See, because the lion signifies ruler or kingship. And at the time that John saw that, and at this present time, he is not manifesting himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because he would be going today as the son of David, going into the millennium, see? All right? See, now he's manifesting himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right, now, I said that the way I wanted it said. He's manifesting himself now. We can call him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, because that's what he is. John introduced him. All right? But there'll come a time when we go to glory as this scene is totally fulfilled, see, that we'll see the Lamb of God. All right? See, now he's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. See, now that's what we'll get on this afternoon. Who is that Lamb? See, because in the condition we're in today, he's Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, down through the ages. Then when John sees him, he's looking for a lion, see, as he turned, but he sees a lamb. Why? Because redemption's not over. Even when we go to glory, like we were talking about last night in the Bible study, and what are you talking about? Even when we go in a rapture, redemption's not over. There'll still be 144,000 Jews to be saved, and there'll still be a foolish virgin to come to the white throne judgment to receive eternal life. So he'll still have to be the Lamb. But Lamb signifies redemption in process. Because it was never in the Old Testament, I told you Wednesday, there's no Old Testament scripture or New Testament at all that a lion is to be an animal of sacrifice. Lion is always king. And Judah being the tribe, see, and the lion, the emblem, it always went first. and always camped on the east. See? And that's where we talk about the eastern skies will split one day and the Lord Jesus will come. Because he's coming from the tribe of Judah. Right? See, it's always on the east side. And he goes first when they travel. Why? Because he's the lion. He's the guardian. The others that signify the ox, the man, and the eagle is bringing up behind him. Because the lion always leads you which way to go because he's king. But at this time, he's king of saints. Right? As far as we know him, he's king of kings and lord of lords. But the world don't know him as king of kings because he's not king of the world. He's king of saints. Right? In the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it's no problem. We're just trying to talk about the Godhead. Trying to get a good understanding of one true and living God. And to see him as that, we see him, as John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So when John turns to see a lion, he sees the Lamb. It was the same Lamb that what? Same Lamb that he introduced. I mean, heard John the Baptist introduce, because he wrote it in the book of John, reading and saying it that way. There's a difference between John the Baptist that introduced Jesus Christ and John who goes to Patmos, all right? Two different people. But yet John wrote that. John wrote that before he went to Patmos because it was written somewhere about 95 or 96. I mean, excuse me, that's when he went to Patmos. It's written about somewhere around AD 50 to AD 60 is actually when the writings, somewhere right in that period of time, is when the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were finally recorded. They wasn't recorded. We think that John was going along with the pad, you know. He's writing it down. No, it was many, many years before it ever took place. And Luke and Mark were not an original disciples. But I always love to read Luke because he said, having perfect understanding. What? By the Holy Ghost. The same one that took John up on the Isle of Patmos. The same one that saves each and every one of us is the one that gives us a revelation. Having perfect understanding. By the Holy Ghost. See, Luke was a physician, which made him probably more specific in detail as to what was being said, and that's why I love that. But now the book of John is the prophetic side, you know, more onto that line, that part, because you got the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, then you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're guarding the book of Acts. See, you want to know in the book of Acts, it says the name and faith in the name. Is this man healed? That's in the book of Acts. If you want to know where that come from, and the name, and all like that, and how it, go back to the book from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find how that this one come down and where the name come from. See, because they guard the book of Acts. All right? But see, church, what I'm trying to get you to look at is that this is the revealing of one true and living God into your experience. Because the book of Revelation is written about you. Now, I said this last night, and I'll say it, but this is the way I'm going to say it until a future time. Maybe this afternoon we'll get enough of it. But see, the first five chapters of the book of Revelation, you don't see Jesus Christ in human anatomy, or what you call it, form, bodily. You don't see it. Wait till we get to that lion, to that lamb after a while, or this evening, where he's got seven horns and seven eyes. See? That's why the title of the message is coming forth of the Lamb. All right. Before I forget it, Brother Al called, and most of you know his brother, they had to put him in the Larwood. I think he checked his stuff in, but Brother Al and them's down there with his mother. It's really bothering her real bad. So pray for Brother Al's mother. Just keep her in your prayers and everything. But, you know, I was forgetting that. So, you know. But listen. The proclamation now goes out for one to be worthy. All right? That would take the kinsman redeemer. Read the book of Ruth. And you got to have the kinsman redeemer to be worthy. Not that the angels wasn't worthy. Surely Michael and being Christ, and surely Gabriel, the one to bring the messages of the, to Mary and things. If it was any worthiness whatsoever, it would be there, but they're not kinsmen. And see, all the people of the world that even were the greatest ones you could think of, could be standing there, but yet they're not worthy. But it would take one worthy, which would be the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Right. And see, that Lamb then is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The Lamb of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, surely the Lord Jesus Christ is called, Matthew 1:1, the Son of David. He's called the Son of Abraham. But those are not natural. Because he has no earthly connection. Because if you run the lineage of Jesus down from Judah, it'll come down to Joseph. It doesn't come to Mary. It comes to Joseph. Well, Joseph is not his father. It's just the fact that Joseph's come from the tribe of Judah. See? Alright? But see, there's no way to trace the lineage of this man that comes forth that is worthy. Because remember, it asked for a man. All right. Now, they're saying it now over and over, and I keep saying it to you where you'll think about it. They're saying, and quoting Brother Branham, I know the quotes and all, that Jesus was just an ordinary man. Well, if he was just a man that finally became God on the River Jordan, and then God left him in the garden, then an ordinary man died. All right. So you see, they're wrong because it wouldn't match up. Where are you going to get your lamb from? Now, John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ on the River Jordan, right? That's where he was saying in the book of John, put together with Matthew and all, that's where he was saying, behold the Lamb of God. All right? And as he was doing that, who was he introducing? He was introducing the full revelation of Almighty God. See? To be the Lamb of God. All right. Almighty God was being introduced. That's what Brother Brown said was his coronation day. That was sure the wonderful time, a great thing to happen. Greatest of all events is where God identified himself in earth, but into a body not brought by any human mortal. See, then you just say he was just an ordinary man. You better be careful. That's your business, but what are you making him? Because he wouldn't be use for us. I'm sorry to say it that way. It wouldn't come out to be any help to us. Because see, if he's an ordinary man, how could he be my kinsman? Because I got to have a kinsman in spirit first, right? A kinsman by the new birth first, before I can say I'm a kinfolks to God. I'm not trying to be kinfolks to flesh. That's fine. But I'm trying first to be kinfolks to God. And that takes the new birth. And see, that was what was in that man, because in soul he was God, and in spirit he was God, and in body, sure, he was a man. I know the quotes, right? But take the ones that we brought this morning then. They say he was just an ordinary man. Right? Now, like I told you years ago, that people used to say, the two soul people try to prove a point, they used to say the soul is just the nature of the spirit. Well, you go back and check the quotes. The prophet said the soul is the nature of the spirit. They injected the word just. See, then when they say that Jesus was just an ordinary man, all right, they left one word off. Look what he says on your notes in Shalom, 1964:119. Go down to the bottom part of it. Read all of it down of all I'm giving you, but just to save time reading. We all here this afternoon who are Christians believe that Jesus Christ was God's Word manifested. We believe he was virgin born. He was a tabernacle in which Almighty God tabernacled in here on earth. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, but God himself manifested in the form of a man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. We believe that. with all our heart. Amen. Mighty God, unveiled, 1964, 629, page 6. Now, if you'll take the Old Testament prophecies concerning what the Messiah was to be, you can compare it with the life of Jesus, and you got it exactly who Jesus was. He was not just an ordinary man. He was God in morphe. He was changed from the supernatural into the natural form of a man. Right. Yet he was God manifested in the flesh, right, veiled by a human fleshly veil. Right. And you can watch that Old Testament speaking. All right, page 20 of the same message, Mighty God Unveiled. Then it was God. In them days it was God in a man, his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ, God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. Now it's God in men. Now that shows you where we're going to, right? The fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. All right. Now, there's the man. As I always told you, Paul Anderson was the strongest man in the world. Broke records by hundreds of pounds instead of pounds or ounces like everybody else done. He broke them by hundreds of pounds. Huh? Strongest man is recorded in the world. Now, I don't know what it is now or what they've got, but that was, you know, about years ago. Huh? But that wasn't a man. You say, well, what was he? He was a human being, a man. Right, we got sense. But understand what I'm saying. Paul Anderson couldn't die for me. He might could lift me up, but he couldn't lift me high enough to get me saved. He might could carry me around for a long time, but he couldn't carry me to glory. Right? See, there's only one man in this world that I've ever been concerned about, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Little bitty ruddy type of a fella that didn't have much according to the psalmist, according to Isaiah and him, didn't have much to look upon. You know. And when they beat him so much, he said, the prophet said he looked like hamburger meat. That don't look like a man. But yet if that man hadn't done that, you wouldn't be saved today. So there's the man that I'm depending upon to take the book. That's the only one that's worthy. Brother Branham wasn't worthy. Nobody was worthy. You say, yeah, but I got quotes. That's right, but keep on quoting the rest of them. Bring it all together. Right. Hold it together as a revelation. Right. And see where it fits. Not just an ordinary man. Right. Amen. Yeah, but that flesh wasn't God. No, but it was so close until it was a creation without any sinful effect. Right? Amen. Without any sinful effect whatsoever connected to it. But yet to be where he could be tempted, yeah. But that's what made him a man. That's what made him a man to me, is when he could be tempted. You know. There's a lot of good men in the Bible. But this man could be tempted, he could be beaten and all, but he wouldn't change his whole form of what he was doing. He never broke down upon what he was doing. That's a man. Brother Brown said, no man could die like that man died. When all he had to do was move a finger, have a thought or anything, and could have obliterated the whole world when they were beating him. But instead of that, he didn't. Why? Because he was introduced as the Lamb. And to be introduced as the Lamb, had John done there on Jordan, introduced him as the Lion, he would have been the King. But he was introduced as a lamb. And knowing that lamb, see, lion don't have to die. Do you understand? Lion don't have to die. He's king. But a lamb, to be a lamb, he was introduced as one to be slaughtered. Right? John's saying there on the River Jordan, here's the product to pay the price. Here's the lamb. Not here's a lion, a lamb, meaning one to die. He come into the world knowing that he had to die. Now, I don't mean that when he was a kid growing up. You know what I'm talking about. When he come to the knowledge, he knew. You know. And all he had to do was say, I'm not going to do it. All he had to do was have a thought, I'm not going to do it. There was the man I'm talking about. Not a bunch of this garbage running around now that talks about men, and not the ones in the message that they call these great big men in the message. Brother Brown said what made a man big was the baggy pants he had where he'd crawled on his knees from praying. You want the quotes on what a man really is? Where he crawled on his knees, he said, that's a man. One would give himself for others, that's a man. Alright. But see, not just an ordinary man. Alright. But now listen. Remember the point I've been trying to make. Let me move on now. John was taken up to see where Jesus the Lamb went. Right now. It was the Lamb that went up. It was the Lamb that was crucified. It was the Lamb that raised. Isn't that true? The Lamb was the one that was crucified. The Lamb was the one that was raised. That's why I said to you a while back, the people of the message just want to quote. But see, Brother Brown said he died Son of Man, rose Son of God. Amen, I believe that. Because he was the Son of God when he was walking the shores of Galilee, because that's who Peter introduced him to be. But in manifestation, he was the Son of Man. So who raised from the dead? The Son of Man. The Lamb. Now you see what I'll talk about this evening. Who is this Lamb? The Son of Man. Who raised? The Son of Man. The Lamb raised. Took captivity captive and ascended into glory. And the prophet said, went before the throne and climbed up on the throne and sat down. Took the book out of his hand and climbed up and sat down. See? Chapter 4, verse 1. Alright? And see when where it comes down to see the one on the throne. But see, then he sent back the Holy Spirit as the Son of God. So now it's the Son of God down through seven church ages. So then he died Son of Man. Sure, he rose Son of God, but he descended as Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth on the day of Pentecost. To establish the Father's throne in earth, which would make earth then the same as heaven of the saints. So where did John see Jesus go? He saw him go up and come right back. He said, no, Jesus stayed up there. See, that's how carnal you are in your understanding. That God can be 1,000 manifestations at one time and still not be but one. I like the way Brother Richard says about it. He said, Abraham could have seen 100 walking down through there, and he'd have still said, my Lord. Because he knew what he was talking about. He was a prophet. Whereas, you know, the others, what did they see? Lords. Job, when you're going on down to Sodom, Lot said, Lords, because he wasn't a prophet. But listen. That Lamb of God, let's look at him for a moment. See? And remember, what I'm trying to get you to see is the acts of a play. I keep referring to that where you can see it. Our progressive revelation to our understanding. Revelation 4:1, a voice, a door in heaven is open. Who's the door? The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. A voice comes from there. Whose voice? The Lord Jesus Christ. Then he sees the throne. Right. Then he sees one on the throne. Then he sees the 24 elders. And the Lamb, the one in the midst that was on the throne was in the midst. I mean, he's just as much in one as he is the other. Alright. Then he sees the four combat beasts. He's in the midst. Chapter 5. See? What happens? You see the one sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. Now that's progressive revelation, our understanding, but it's unfolding of God. Because I've given you the quotes over and over. Brother Brown said he looked and said he just saw the throne, or in chapter 4. Then he sees one on the throne. What? Opening of a scene, further and further. Chapter 5, he sees what? The one sitting on the throne. But then he sees a book in his hand. I'll give you some quotes, we'll read them out of what, where he said he hadn't seen that lamb. See, that's another opening our understanding of a scene. Right? See, it's just constantly unfolding. Why? Who is this? The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You're believing in one true and living God. See, and John saw him go up. He saw the body stay there, but it's not lifeless. No. That's our carnal stupidity of our minds. He's just as much alive there as he's alive here, but he's just as much alive here as he's alive there. That's Almighty God. He could be all over the world, but yet he's a being. He's not like the wind just blowing about. He's a being, the prophet said. He's a person. But yet that person can manifest himself in many ways. You explain to me, sitting right here in this building, explain that there's some probably, what, 80, 90, 80 in this here this morning, close? And everybody in here can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? If they want it. It's for them. Now how can every one of us have the person of Jesus Christ living inside of us? Can you explain that? There's no way to explain how that he could be in every person. Over 6 billion people in the world today. And he could be in every person around the world, right? If they'd accept him. Well, that makes 6 billion Christ. No, that makes one Christ. A wonderful Almighty God that can show himself and reveal himself and manifest himself in many ways to where you can see it. See, that lamb sitting, that lamb. A call was for the lamb. And it was for a lion, but it had a lamb was to do it. A kinsman redeemer was the call. The lamb steps forth. Now we're seeing more of this vision unfold. Like I've tried my best to get you to read the book of Daniel. If you read the book of Daniel, you read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, 7, 8, 9. And you read each one of them just as an individual thing. And you'll say, boy, he had a lot of headaches, I bet. Because he had a lot of visions. And he had to keep up with all what these were. But if you go back and read them, he sees a vision. Then he sees more in the next one of the same vision. Then he sees more in the next one of the same vision. And more of the next one of the same vision. It's one vision. The book of Revelation is one vision to Almighty John, Almighty God given to John. The word that he can see these things as it unfolds. This lamb, see? Notice him. He's in the midst. He's in the midst, right? Look at the lamb. Verse 6, chapter 5. And they behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Now draw this picture. Would somebody please draw that picture for me? That you're going to have him as a lamb. You're going to have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all made manifest. You're going to have a throne. You're going to have all these elders. And you're going to have the combat beast. And you're going to have a lamb in the midst of it all. Well, what it is, it's just all around him. Now, that is not what it means. How can he be in the midst of the throne? Well, that's a mistranslation. He's just sitting up on the throne. Now you've made the Father's throne separate, and you're going back to your Trinitarian doctrine. The Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, he's in the midst of the throne. He's in the midst of the beast. Come on, read it. And I behold, and lo, beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders. So he's in the middle of everything. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Draw that picture. See, there's no way to draw out the things. How can you make the line of the tribe of Judah be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world when they're totally different species? And our thoughts of line would eat up the lamb.
Right.
See?
Right.
But he's the dove.
Right.
He's all the things. You're describing the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is.
Right.
And how he's making himself manifest.
Right.
Sure, down through seven church ages he's been Son of God. And then a lamb comes forth. But that doesn't mean the lamb wasn't down here present during the church ages.
Right. Come on, brother.
He just wasn't understood in the right position.
Right. Amen.
We'll get to that later. He wasn't understood in the right position. But the first church age, he was the lamb.
Amen.
No, Brother Dale, the Son of God. Boy, you got a good revelation. Because the one I'm talking about in the first church age was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and the line of the tribe of Judah made manifest there upon earth in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, one true and living God. Go back to the message and listen to Brother Branham talk about a lamb. He didn't have any trouble making the lamb down in the church ages. The Bible didn't have any trouble making him down there. So that's what I'm talking about, coming forth of the lamb. Where does he come from? And what kind of a lamb, how does he look?
Right.
Now we know where he comes from. He comes from the midst of the throne. The Bible just said it. We'll read the things the prophet said in just a minute, but get this. Now beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne, where does he come from? Where does this lamb come from? And of the four beasts, right in the middle of the midst, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now who are the seven, what is the seven spirits of God? God don't have seven spirits. It's each church age in manifestation, right? So where does this lamb come from? Now you get on these last tapes, and I couldn't make the last two because Brother Richard, one of them, was messed up, and I'm holding the last one, but 23 and 24, so it's back there 22. But I'm quick as we get them, you'll see he's right on the same line. You know. Where did this lamb come from? When John was told a lion was coming, that was, he could say, okay, the lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was probably expecting to make the final point of turning an eyesight to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew he was in prophetic form, so he knew he would see him in another form, you know, other than the Lord Jesus standing there. Like over in Revelation 1, where I kept trying to get you to see. One standing in the midst of seven golden, 1:13. Then in the midst of the seven golden candlestick, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. John there says, turned to see the voice. Brother Brown said he turned to see the voice and saw the church. There is nowhere in the book of Revelation 1 through 5, read it, that you'll find the corporal standing of the Lord Jesus. You'll always find him in bride form.
Amen.
Yeah, but Brother Dale, I just don't understand that. Well, that's what I know, you don't understand it. Why, you would be hollering amen if you did understand it. It's the best way to say it. Why? Because it's the understanding of one true and living God. But now what does he do? He said it was a lamb. Here's the surprise to John. Even the fact of being, he said, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah. I said, he's going to turn to see Jesus. All right. and he saw a lamb. Now, if there stood a lamb, John would still be all right because he's a prophet. Right? And he would have still said, wait, that's the one. See? The symbol would still have been okay for a lamb standing there with nothing but a lamb. Just no blood, no nothing, just standing there. He would have said, oh, that's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. That's where John the Baptist introduced him.
Right.
We're still right. We got the one God right.
Right.
You know. We got two or three. I still got my revelation right. But the surprise was with the condition the lamb was in. Sure, it was a lamb that had been slain. Sure, John would know of that as Calvary. And as I said, if he'd seen him then standing there bloody, all over, just bloody, he'd say, sure, that's a symbol. He died at Calvary. That's where the lamb was crucified. That's where he became bloody. That's where he was killed at, was on Calvary. John would have said, sure, my revelation's still right. I still got one God. But that wasn't all he saw. This lamb, come on, midst of the elders, verse 6, lamb as it had been slain, that was Calvary. That was Calvary. But what? Having seven horns and seven eyes. Funny looking lamb. All of them I've ever seen don't have but one or two horns. This one's got seven. Seven horns, seven eyes. And you say, well, John, what is that? And the Holy Spirit said, okay, John, the seven horns and the seven eyes, which are, John, God tells John. Not no surprise then. Not no symbols. He tells him what that symbol is. Come on. He was expecting a lamb. Come on. He could see a lamb that was bloody and realize Calvary. But when he sees one with seven horns and seven eyes, it probably startled him. Well, God said, I'm not going to show you this in symbol, the symbol of that. I'm going to tell you what it is. See? What did he say? Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth? Down through seven church ages. There's where he has the horns.
Right.
Now he gets a horn for each age.
Amen.
And an eye for each age.
That's right.
That's fine.
Amen.
All right now. So listen. Now you can have your opinion here if you want to. I'll give you mine. You can say, well, in the first church age, he had one horn and one eye. Then the second church age, he had two horns and two eyes. That's fine. That's all right if that's the way you want to believe it. See, and then he 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and he finally gets seven horns and seven eyes. That's all right if that's the way you want to believe it. I'm not arguing with you about it. I'm just telling you what I see. Because if he was in the midst, that means in the first church age, he was a lamb that had been slain to take away the sin of the world. And he had seven horns and seven eyes. Second church age, the same lamb was seen. Because he's in the midst. He's in the first church age with seven horns and seven eyes. Second church age with that. Because it's in the midst. Put him the same in each age. Now the people of each age was different. Yeah. And the word for the age was different. Right. We know that. But the Holy Spirit was the same Holy Spirit in each church age. And if that's the way you want to describe it, as lamb, as church age one, horn one, eye one, that's fine with me. But I just like to say it like the Bible said it. He's in the midst. And that's what it was back over there in the church age, you remember? In the midst. He's just as present in the first church age as he is in the middle church age as he is in the last church age. Because that's the Holy Spirit in each age. The prophet put a whole message in the church age book on that. On the seven spirits. And I went through that. But see, we look at him and we say, oh no, Brother Dale, he was Alpha and he's Omega. And nothing in between. We'll keep quoting now. Because quote the rest of them where it says he's Alpha and Omega and all that's in between. That he's the A and the Z and all the letters of the alphabet. What do you mean? He was, sure, I know what the prophet's saying. He was there in great manifestations of healings and signs and wonders in the first church age. He was there through the faith of the fathers, the seed going into the ground, it lasted up to about the fourth age. Right, I know that. And he needs to come back in the end time with the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. So that makes him Alpha and Omega. What? The beginning and the end. All right. But it doesn't make him, as we'd say, nothing in between. No. See? That's where we want to quote something, but bring it all together. All right. But listen. This Lamb must come forth from the church ages. Or, let me say it in a way, the church ages was Son of God. Right? Father's throne. Alright? He's still Son of God. But yet in manifestation, what is it right in the end time, just before the ending of the Laodicean age, what is he to manifest himself as? Son of man. Now you're getting to where the Lamb is going to take on the position of the Son of Man. Not Brother Branham now. Brother Branham is a Son of Man. The Lord Jesus is the Son of Man. That's why I don't believe that it was Brother Branham that come to John on Patmos in like 17 or 19, what is in 22 there, because he's not over here in chapter 1 where he turns right around and says he's talking about it, and he bows down. And as he bows down to worship the one in chapter 1, he comes forth in red letter edition. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the He that was and He is now. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ in prophetic form. As a prophet. The Son of Man. Now not just a prophet to be a prophet to bring the word. The Son of Man was always labeled as a prophet. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Son of Man. See? Alright. But yet, the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic ministry. And I thought we believed that in the end time that the ministry of Jesus Christ was to return into the church. Of the same ministry he had when he was back there to fulfill the scriptures and things. I thought that's what we believed. But listen now. This Lord Jesus, get the story now, this Lamb of God gave his life at Calvary, was crucified, all right, came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and down through the church ages that Holy Ghost has been given to the born-again believers, right, but in the end time, it's to return back as the Son of Man. It's different forms or stages of the unfolding or the coming forth of this Lamb. He's been coming ever since he left. That's where people miss his second coming. He went right up, come right back, started his second coming. Where's his second coming? In the bride. That's why Paul didn't have any trouble when he seen that standing over there. Who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. I'm the one that was introduced. I'm the one that paid the price. And I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He never did. But he was persecuting the Christians, which was Jesus in manifestation. Making a Lamb. See? Making a Lamb. See? He came back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to establish the Father's throne on the earth, all right? But see, then truly doing that to establish the Father's throne puts him in the midst of the throne, puts him in the midst of the elders, puts him in the midst of the seven of the candlesticks in chapter 1, puts him in the midst of all of it as being the prevalent one for you and I, the one with the preeminence. There was one in the first church age that had preeminence. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, church age. All of that comes out to be that. All right. But watch now. He was in the midst of the combat beast. See? His presence was in every age. We know that the word went down and come back, and Luther and them come out with Trinitarian doctrine, sure, but it was still the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth. All right. But now watch. Let's let the prophet, let's let him describe this. All right. Look at number 4 on your notes. Because you see what's happening. John is taken up, and he sees him amorphic. He sees him changing his form. Right. Now what form does he see? He sees the Lamb. Right. Now there still sets a throne. There still sets one on the throne. There's still the Lamb with the book in his hand. I mean, and the one sitting on the throne with the book in his hand, we'll set that away. There still sets all of those. Now here comes the Lamb. Now listen to what your prophet had to say. Revelations, paragraph 143, Revelation chapter 5, part 2, which is the bruised serpent, 1961-0611. So then, just then he said, an elder came forth, or a strong angel said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen, the root of David, he hath prevailed, amen, conquered. In other words, he's worthy to take the book. Remember, and watch, remember he hadn't seen him up to this time. He's talking about the Lamb, right? He hadn't seen him up to this time. Why, he said. He was seated on the throne in there. God's throne. He was on the inside of the sanctuary. He hadn't seen him till this time. So John was expecting to see a lion come forth, but he saw a lamb. See, first you've seen the throne, chapter 4. Then one on the throne. Then chapter 5, you see one on the throne with a book in his hand. Now you see a lamb come forth. Where does he come from? He was back in the sanctuary. He was down in the church. We'll get to it later where he was down there doing mediatorial work. Saving the people in the first church age, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Right? Mediatorial work. All right, number 5, which is the breach. Page 96. 63:317 evening. John hadn't noticed this lamb before. You know here, he hadn't been mentioned before. Nowhere had it been mentioned. John didn't see it all over the heavens as he's looking. And remember, he proclaimed the went forth for a redeemer, and he's crying. He don't, you know, because he don't see one. Now he sees one. But here it come forth. Now where it came forth, where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne, where it had been seated since he had been slain and raised again. Where'd the Lamb come from? Father's throne. Where's the Father's throne? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, down here. He raised up and sat on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. Amen. Raised there today as an intercessor with his own blood to make intercession upon the ignorance of the people. Now, oh, that's the one I'm depending on. It still was covered with bleach. The bleach of the forgiveness of sin. Where'd he come from? Father's throne. Where's the Father's throne? Church ages. Where did this one come forth? John hadn't seen him before. Now the scene is unfolding. Now the vision is progressing deeper. Now John sees all of these. Now, I don't mean it carnal. I mean it to try to get you to quit and me to quit being carnal. It looked like the throne is getting pretty crowded. And people don't understand me talking like that, but I'm trying to get you to think. the throne, one on the throne, the book in the hand. Now the Lamb appears on the throne. So that must be one true and living God made manifest. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all made manifest. But at this time, he's in a man. The body. There's only one sitting on the throne. There's not three thrones and three gods. There's only one sitting on the throne. There's only one throne. Huh? 97 of the breach. John looked at that lamb. The lamb looked like he'd been slain. And then he noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding, a bloody lamb. That's what took our place. Isn't it strange a simple lamb had to take our place? And he saw the lamb. He preceded out. See? Preceded out. In other words, come into the vision. John hadn't saw him. Because he had been way back into eternities, even making intercession and showing that those who had come to God. Now watch how far this lamb goes back, and then you'll see what I'm talking about searching the book. One day you'll catch it, what I'm talking about searching the book. See, watch where he goes. Watch what this lamb is doing now. Because he had been way back into the eternities. In other words, he had to go back before the foundation of the world. Because sin originated in heaven. Come on. Sin originated in heaven. He had to go back past there. He's going to search the book. That's what he's doing. Even making intercession and showing those who had come to God, listen, under the offering of the blood of bulls, Old Testament, right? Of goats, a substitutionary offering. He also caused them who believed it pointed to him. And the blood had not been shed yet, so he was there to clean them. He was there to clean you and I. Oh, and oh God, I hope he's there tonight. For every sinner, the Lamb been slain. He's back in eternities. Making sure everything's okay. Paying the price of redemption for those Old Testament saints that was only under the blood of bulls and goats. Because the Lamb hadn't been slain. A natural Lamb was being slain. Right? That only pushed it, as Brother Harris, what is that word, capo, pushed it? Something like that, where it just pushed it forward. It just pushed him up to Calvary. And when he paid the price at Calvary, everything was all right. Listen. Go right on down to paragraph 97 of, or page 97 of the breach. How can Jehovah see anything but that bloody lamb standing there? And the lamb proceeded out into the vision now. See, this is a vision to John. The literal happening of the lamb slain and I was on the earth. See? And it had been slain. Notice, come from the Father's throne. Oh, think. Where did he advance from to this vision? He come from glory where he seated at the right hand of God. He advanced forth to John out of glory. Oh, would it not be a glorious thing if our sinful thoughts tonight could be laid aside long enough to accepting him? He would advance all the way from glory tonight to make himself known to everyone. The Lamb advancing from glory for intercessions, all right, to make claims for his redemption. Amen. All right. Page 107 of the breach. He leaves the throne off to be an intercessor as a slain lamb to be a lion, king to bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. See, that's what he comes as a lion at. All right. Remember the Old Testament teaching? Now, as we hurry. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. He become not a lamb, but a lion king. He calls for his queen to come and stand by his side. Know ye not the saints shall judge the earth? Keep on reading. Page 136, Church Age Book. He talks about the trumpets and the thing. In the middle paragraph, see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He still got this part in his hand. Because why? It is redeemed by Christ, but he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the life's one name is put on that book, has already received it and been sealed away. Now do you got it? Then he comes forth from his throne, his Father's throne, walks forth, takes a book out of God's hand from the throne and claims his rights. The first thing he does, he calls for his ride, and he takes his opponent and casts him away. Keep on reading. We'll get these out of the way because we'll have to quit in just a minute. Revelation, paragraph 88, Revelation chapter 5, part 2, which is 1961, 618. A lamb, why didn't he see the lamb before? The lamb had been seated on the Father's throne inside the guards. Where was the lamb at? On the Father's throne, seated inside the guard. Why? The lamb that's going to now change the scene and do something else. John could not see into there. He only seen those four-headed or those four beasts and things. All right, we got it, the combat. All right, going down reading in that. Look at Mighty God Unveiled, 1964, 0629. Then we find after his death, burial, and resurrection, he came on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God, God the Spirit in the form, Holy Ghost. What was he doing? He was changing himself, making himself known to the people in a different form, like the Holy Spirit, which is God. He came to deal through the church ages as Son of God, the Holy Spirit. But in the millennium, he comes as Son of David to sit on the throne of David, King. He was to take the throne of David. He's on the Father's throne now. And then he said, he that overcomes shall sit with me on my throne as I've overcome and sit on my Father's throne. So in the millennium, he be Son of David. What is it? The same God all the time, just changing his mask. Not many gods. Keep on reading. Feast of the Trumpets, 64:7-19 in the morning. Now he's been revealed through the church ages. Now watch. Through the church ages as Son of God. God being the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He revealed himself in the church ages in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. We find in the Laodicean age, the last age, he's put out of the church. And we'll get to that this afternoon. And nowhere else was he ever put out in any age but in the Laodicean age, because they said, we're rich and blind and have need of nothing. Souls in prison, 1963, 11:10 in the morning. John looked around, and there was no man in heaven, no man on earth, nobody, no angel. Nobody could take the book or to loose the seals or to even look on it. No man was worthy. John said he wept bitterly. Then an angel came to him, said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he's worthy. And John looked to see a lamb, or see a lion. And what did he find? A lamb. And it was a bloody lamb, a lamb that had been slain. How long? Since the foundation of the world. Watch what he says now. The lamb came forth, walked up to him that had the book in his right hand, and received the book, climbed up on the throne, and said, I am. Now you go right on down below there on page 25, and he said, I'm the one that did it. See? Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Last one, because it's almost the same. Is who do you say this is, 1964:12-27, middle paragraph. Bless the word, Lord, as I read it. There's no man that's able or sufficient to interpret that book, that word. John saw the book in the hand of him that sat upon the throne, and there was no one in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth that was worthy to even look at the book. But one of the elders said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. John looking to see a lion, he saw a lamb that had been slain. A bloody lamb come forth and took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. And all the celebrities of heaven took their crowns from their heads and bowed and knowed he was worthy. That's right on down through Revelation 5, where they fall down. It's the 8th verse, I think. But do you see what I'm talking about? The acts of a play. The things that God has done. He came down in human flesh. Introduced as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he was. But he died as Son of Man to release that life that was in him, which would be the Son of God, that would come back on the day of Pentecost. The Lamb went up, left the bodies, we call it, come back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't come back in the form as a human corporal body. Even though the Lord Jesus appeared among the disciples there for many times. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost went up, see, he went up, delivered. Didn't come back in a corporal body anymore. He come back in bride form. All right. This lamb that we've seen. Sure. This lamb was slain, yes, at Calvary, right. But this lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. So it come from the church ages. All right? Come down from the church age. Let me get the last statement. The lamb climbs up on the throne after he takes the book and becomes the one on the throne. That's one true and living God. Now make this statement because we'll pick it back up this afternoon. What happens then? The lamb coming forth from the Father's throne, it's going to have to come forth from a group of people in the end time that becomes the Son of Man, the Word made flesh again. That's why he's got seven horns and seven eyes. Let me just say it like this, then we'll get it. Let me hold that part. Let me hold that part because I don't want to say what I've got on my heart. He's making himself made manifest. He's making himself made manifest. I'll say this word. The bride must give birth to not a body of human elements. Not to give birth to Christ as the form of the anointing, even though all that's fine. The bride is to give birth to the Word. The birth of the Word is the Son of Man. So the coming forth of the Lamb has been down through the seven church ages. And he changes his form right in the end of the seventh age. To be the Son of Man made manifest in the people. But see, you hold that as Brother Branham was the Son of Man, and that's, you got a problem then. You're making him deity. But Brother Dale, if you make the bride, that's exactly what the bride is. Exactly. Brother Branham being part of the bride. The bride by the new birth is deity made manifest. The Lamb has got to come forth from your experience. Now, it's not, and I say this because people taught it years ago. They took a certain brother and said, he's the one that stands forth. He was the Lamb. He was the one that stood there for me between the sixth and seventh seal. No, the Lamb did. I can't stand there for you, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. Now, if you say that that man was the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's what you're doing with it. But see, they taught this certain brother had to go forward. He was the one standing between. No, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's got to be birthed from you. But I can't give birth to all the Word. Now listen. Because I only have part of the Holy Ghost. And I only have part of the Word. But the entire bride of Jesus Christ around the world, including the prophet, or by way of the prophet, that would put him into the body of Christ, must give birth to the Word. The same Word that walked on the shores of Galilee, the same Son of Man. That's why the one that takes the book, and you'll see when it goes to Israel, that lamb that takes the book has got to be in bride form. What other form are you going to make it? The Bible doesn't describe it as a human element. The Bible describes it as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We know what happened. It describes him as a lamb slain 2,000 years. We know what happened. It describes him as seven horns and seven eyes. Coming from the seven church ages. The same description is given in chapter 1. Verse 13. That's why I said from Revelations 1. Come on, Brother Dick. Revelations 1 to 5. There is no human element of Jesus standing there. It's not there. It's in bride form. Yeah, but I just don't understand. I agree with you. You don't understand because one thing, you haven't been taught. But another thing, you listen to other people. Like the big man in this message, when it was quoted to him that the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he said, hogwash. Well, that's his business. That's his problem. The prophet's one that said it. That the bride would be the Son of Man made manifest on earth again. But everybody makes it Brother Branham. See, that's their problem. That's the reason they don't know what's going on. They can't see what's going on. But evidently, Brother Branham looks funny because he's, if you got him over there as the one with the book, taking the book and the thing, he sure looks funny because he looks like a lamb that's been slain. Not only that, he's got seven horns and seven eyes. Brother Branham said it wasn't no lamb to come forth, a natural lamb, said it was a man. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's stand. Go ahead, Brother Dick. Anybody have a need? Anybody have a need with? I love to tell the
story. I'm just nausea and my dizziness just made me
turn around. Father, we condemn this nausea, this sickness, this dizziness by the blood of the one we're talking about. And Father, that Lamb of God that precedes all the way from glory to our sister to show her that the price was paid because it was a bloody Lamb that by your stripes our sister was healed. Now take away this sickness. We condemn it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I love to tell the story more wonderful.
Anybody have a need? Just come and let's believe. Let's see. Let's watch that Lamb come all the way from glory. Our sister needs a touch from the Lord. Let's believe with her. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we condemn this existence of this demon that's trying to hinder our sister through the blood of the one that we talked about. So as you proceed all the way to our sister's heart, then reveal to her that all is well. Because, Lord, there's nothing can stand in the way of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ is His name. Amen. Amen. Go and believe and see. It's in her prayer cloth. Take the prayer cloth to her. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, we know our little buddy's had this old sickness and causing problems, his nose running and all. We condemn that under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we send also a prayer call to our sister to take away the sickness from her. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Anybody else? Do you believe? But if you believe, that Lamb can come all the way from glory right down to you. It's not trying to figure out all the mechanical doings. It's seeing where He's changed His form to manifest Himself in many ways. But He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. The one true and living God. The plan of redemption is complete if we believe it. Be my theme in glory to tell the old story. Won't that be something when we all get over there and can sit down and talk with one another about what happened while we were here on earth? Amen. What a great thing. Father, you heard our brother, and what greater thing could be than to be more committed to you? Lord, just take that commitment. Our brother stepped out and has made the statement. Now you go upon his confession that he wants to be, Lord, what you want him to be. And let him just get out of the way. Let all things, Lord, just be made manifest that would bring him to a place to where that you will be preeminent in his life. We love you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Do you? Be my thing. You're dismissed to tell the old.